Hi everyone, this is Stuart Love checking in here with the 4th & Inches Podcast Network and 5 Star Imports and Memorabilia. We have some very exciting news to announce. Both the 4th & Inches Podcast Network and 5 Star Imports and Memorabilia have teamed up and will collaborate with Silver FX Bespoke Teamwear, Print and Embroidery. I spoke to Andy Turner last week and it was very clear that we both have the same vision, the same drive and the same ambitions. We both love the NFL, we both love American sports, and we love American sports apparel. So together, we're going to bring you the best American sports clothing line for the podcast, for 5 Star Imports and Memorabilia, and you're going to see it all over the UK with many other organisations. So please check out Silver FX Limited at www.silverfx.co.uk. You can find them on Twitter at silverfx_sports, or you can get them on Instagram at silverfxuk. But be rest assured, we're going to bring you something pretty incredible. So keep an eye out. You can check it out on the podcast. Keep an eye on our Facebook page, 5 Star Imports and Memorabilia. You can find myself on Twitter, Stuart Love NFL. And we'll have many links coming out over the next few days. And please look out for our web store that will have both the podcast and 5 Star Imports and Memorabilia. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening and hope to all work with you soon.
Welcome to the 4th & Inches Podcast with your hosts, Stuart Love, Sukhdeep Pooney, and Ryan Edwardson.
Good morning, guys. Here is the second installment of the 4th & Inches NFL Wildcard Special, Part 2. This comes with Ryan Edwardson covering Ravens at Titans. We've got Sukhdeep Pooney that will cover Saints at Bears. Then we will finish off with Ryan Edwardson at Browns at Steelers. I just wanted to say a massive congratulations to the Bills, to the Rams, and to the Bucks. Absolutely fantastic performances yesterday. I mean, what an advert. What an advert for the NFL. What an advert for playoff football. You know, commiserations, obviously, to the Colts, to my good friends that support the Seahawks, and obviously the Washington organization. But you know what? You've done your teams proud. You've got a lot to build on for next season. I think the Seahawks have got a bigger job. But I think overall, everyone done themselves proud. Your organizations should be proud of you. Again, thanks to everyone that came on the show. It's been a massive success. But I'll hand you straight over to Ryan Edwardson with Ravens at Titans.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ryan Edwardson, and we're on the verge of Wildcard Weekend 2021. You join me as we're about to take a closer look at one of Sunday's most anticipated matchups. It's AFC North versus AFC South as the Baltimore Ravens take on the Tennessee Titans. Now, thankfully for the rest of you, I'm not alone on this journey, and joining me are two of the UK's biggest NFL fans in the corner of the team from the Music City. He is the biggest Titans fan in the Southeast, which is great until you realise he's the only Titans fan in the Southeast. It's Tennessee Titans superfan and Tar Collective podcast hope, Mr. Ryan Slaughter. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good, Ryan. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, not too bad. Getting through the lockdown.
Yeah.
And representing Baltimore, he bleeds purple and black. But even Ray Lewis thinks that his plans to steal Ravens from the Tower of London might be a little bit too far. We welcome Mr. Jamie Hawkins. Thanks for coming on, Jamie.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Well, 2020 has been a bit of a wild ride for all of us, I think, but I mean, at least we've had the NFL to get us through, haven't we?
It's probably one of the only things I've been looking forward to through the weeks.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that one.
Yeah.
It makes the weekends a little bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we're just going to have a look back through the season of your respective teams, then ahead to the weekend to come. As tradition dictates, we're going to conduct a coin toss to determine who starts. Now, Jamie, the Ravens are technically the visiting team, so do you want to call the virtual coin toss?
I'll go Tails.
Tails. Oh. I mean, you guys can't see this. It's purely for my benefit. Oh, it's heads. What a shame.
Typical.
Yeah, let's hope that's not a...
I was go by the mantra, Tails never fails, but obviously that didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll start with you, Ryan. Was 2020 plain sailing for the Tennessee Titans?
No, absolutely not, Ryan. I mean, the playoffs last year was like bucking Broncos. You wanted to stay along on it as long as possible, but it just like you knew you were going to fall off. This season, it's just been up and down. I mean, half the time you're jumping up and down, the other time you're wincing. You know, it's great to be AFC champions again. Not since 2008. That's way too long for us. Outstanding offensive performance all season. Most yards in franchise history, 6,343. You know, to another 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry, an amazing season from him. Tannehill's, you know, justifying the large contract that we offered him and being absolutely fantastic. And in my opinion, top five quarterback in the NFL right now. But on the other side, I mean, just an awful offseason. I mean, free agents, like, did nothing. Isaiah Wilson prefers partying in Miami to actually playing football and played four snaps, I think, on special teams. Fulton's obviously been injured. Darrington Evans had COVID, I think, about five times this season so far. And our defense has been absolute trash. So I said to somebody the other day, I said, the words I like to hear in a football game is that we're being kicked to. But when we're actually kicking to the opposition, I normally go and make a cup of tea, maybe chill out for a little bit, because honestly, you don't want to watch that stuff.
It does get a little bit hard in the mouth at times for the Titans this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, Jamie, the Ravens came into the year with an MVP under center, big acquisitions on defense. It couldn't go wrong, surely.
I mean, yeah, you would think having the MVP from the league last year, you'd go be doing well. But I mean, the first two games were great. We beaten the Browns 38-6, and going on to beat the Texans 33-16. Then it kind of all fell to pieces after the Chiefs lost to them by a couple of scores, and then unfortunately losing to the Dirty Steelers in Week 8, going 5-1. We kind of regained our kind of confidence, obviously, after the debacle of week 12 with pretty much the whole Ravens team getting COVID, and then the postponement of the game against the Steelers again, unfortunately losing that again. But I think since then we've kind of hit our stride. I think because there was no preseason this year, I feel most teams are kind of now hitting their stride with kind of like their receiving units and their kind of defenses and everything like that, because they didn't have that preseason to kind of sort out all the kind of kinks in the system. So I feel now we've kind of got the ball rolling.
I mean, as a Seahawks fan, I can tell you not all teams are hitting their stride offensively towards the end of the season whatsoever, mate. But it does seem that way because, yeah, there was definitely a few COVID-related hiccups. And do you think that's had a big impact on the team, or have they kind of bounced back from that?
It's kind of a mixed bag because they saw this whole thing with Dez Bryant, how he somehow retired because he got COVID or before the Cowboys game, and then all of a sudden he's back in again. I don't know if that was him just spitting his dummy out, but it's kind of just a bit strange for him. But he's done well so far. Then you got obviously Willie Snead, who had COVID and now is injured as well. So it's kind of yes and no. I think after getting COVID, Lamar Jackson has gotten better. I don't know what's happened there, because he seems to have kind of come out all guns blazing after that he got COVID.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rough season to start with him. But, I mean, Ryan, you hit on before, Derrick Henry going over 2,000 yards. Ryan Tannehill's resurgence continues. That was really key for you guys coming into this season. Did you have any doubts that it might not go that way? Were you worried about the big contracts?
No, not me personally. I think it was partly because of the way that the team's constructed on offense. I think the biggest concern was going in was around the offensive line, to be honest, is whether we could protect or be able to punch through so that Derrick Henry could make those yards. I mean, I didn't, you know, in my wildest dreams would I did I think that Derek Henry would get 2,000 yards this season? No, I didn't. I thought he'd have a really good season and be pivotal for us. I think, and I think it's the offensive system that we've got at the moment, which it looks like it might get Arthur Smith a payday somewhere else in the league, you know. And he has done terrific with that. But the offensive line, really, when Taylor Lewan went out, I thought, this is the end of the season here. We can't recover this. But the boys have come in and you know, we're known as the Patriots of the South, and it is that next man up mentality. So, and they've done well. But I have concerns, obviously, at the weekend, because we do have some more injuries on the offensive line.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing I was going on to. Do you feel like this offense can take you all the way, despite the fact that the defense is struggling?
Yeah, I think it's been done before. I don't see any reason why not with the offense. We have statistically the second best offense in the league. I don't, like I said, bar injuries on the off, more injuries on the offensive line, but it's great. It really has been fantastic watching the offense this season. But our defense has been absolutely atrocious. And I don't care what you say, defense does win championships. We got, you know, when we went AFC Championship last year. Yeah, okay, Patrick Mahomes and special plays, but I tell you what, that defensive front of the Chiefs stepped up in that game, really stepped up, and they were the big difference makers, I think, in that game. Or the game would have been a lot closer, a lot more nail biting for Chiefs fans.
Jamie, what do you think? You think the Ravens have got enough to go all the way?
From what I've been seeing in the last three games, I would hope so. I would think so. Obviously, you see that we've got the second best defense in the league right now. We do have some great players, kind of, especially coming up against the Titans this weekend with Derrick Henry being the threat that he is. We've got some great defensive players. You know, we've got Judon, we've got Clay Campbell, and we've got Queen as well. So we've got some great players to kind of slow down the run game. And if Tannehill decides to go and throw some bombs, we've got a great secondary with, you know, Marcus Edwards, and stuff like that. Mark Peters and Marlon Humphreys. So I think defensively we should be okay. Offensively, our run game at the minute has kind of stepped its game up with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins taking the kind of the full workload. And Dez Bryant, I mentioned before that he kind of spat his dummy out, but the last couple of games he's kind of showed his true colours and that he's in with the Ravens to win games.
From a neutral point of view, I think it's going to be quite interesting because you've got the Tennessee offense is so dynamic and keeps rolling. The Ravens defense is obviously, that's going to be strength on strength. So it might well come down to how the Titans defense can step up against the Ravens offense. And if the Ravens offense turn up, I mean, this is a rematch from a game earlier in the year and last year's divisional round, Titans won both. Do you think that gives you an advantage mentally going into the game, Ryan?
I think perhaps it is. Perhaps it does mentally give us. I think the fact is that you feel that even with how bad the defense has been, Lamar Jackson was incredibly poor in that game that went to overtime. 58% passer rating. I mean, like I said, overall the season, I think it's been very disappointing for Lamar. My personal view, looking at it, is more about the scheme. They're not allowing him to throw as much as they did the previous season, where he actually looked really good when we're all surprised. And I said to Ryan, I do a lot of draft stuff and a lot of evaluation things and that. And then Lamar Jackson coming out was, you know, very, very exciting player. And we all knew that his pass completion percentage at Louisville was really poor and he needed to improve that. And then last season, it was just amazing. It was amazing watching him. And I go back to that playoff game last season. A lot of, I don't know, Jamie was in that boat, but I saw a lot of Baltimore fans, you know, getting into Lamar Jackson. I thought he was amazing in that game. But I don't think the Ravens would have been in that game without Lamar Jackson. I thought he played absolutely brilliantly and dealt with the pressure that we tried to give, get it out there, but it didn't, you know, we could match it and that was fine. I think in this game, I do think the difference will be is what Lamar turns up. Is it going to be the Lamar that can get out of the pocket, can get those extra yards, those extra first downs? Or is it going to be the Lamar that's going to be a little bit confused coming out the pocket and we might be able to get to him? Now, considering how badly our pass rush has been, let's see.
I think, the key to stopping the Ravens has been Lamar. And I mean, early season form, well, mid-season form, Lamar was definitely looking spotty. He didn't look too confident in himself, I think. That's definitely what I noticed watching a few of their games. Jamie, is it going to be down to whether it's the Lamar of mid-season or the Lamar of late season that turns up? Is that going to be the deciding factor, do you think?
Well, as Ryan mentioned on before, defenses win championships, but obviously offenses are a major part in that. It's a completely different Jackson from the playoffs last year. Last year, Jackson was absolutely on fire and he won the MVP hands down. This year, obviously with the whole, maybe with the COVID thing, maybe the pressures kind of getting to him being the MVP of the league. Very shaky first kind of beginning of the season. Midway was okay, but now we're seeing MVP Lamar Jackson. And I think I'm very confident going into this weekend that I think Jackson is going to be cool-headed. He's going to be good under pressure. I think he's just going to make the right decisions and kind of just keep pushing our offense forward and hopefully get us some scores.
As a neutral, he's definitely one of the games I'm really looking forward to seeing, because it's either going to be a shootout or it's going to be a real defensive battle. And I'm quite happy watching either. So do you think, Ryan, it's going to be Derrick Henry that carries the load and then Tannehill steps in? Or do you think the Ravens are going to shut Derrick Henry down?
I think absolutely it's going to be. he's the best running back in the league, and he's one of the best offensive weapons in the league. Of course, it's going to go through Derrick Henry. But I think that we'll see where the injury update is. I think Darrington Evans has got a role to play in this game, in terms of not just giving Henry a breather, but also he showed flashes of what we thought we drafted, which is actually basically a flash running back who actually can be that check down guy as well for Tannehill. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he's fit and ready to go, that I think he plays a little bit more of a role in this game than people might think, in terms of taking that load off of Derrick Henry and being that guy that can basically change a pace running back from what the defense would be used to. But I don't know. I mean, you cannot stop Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter. And Derrick Henry has certain cornerbacks, he has certain players he absolutely loves, and the Ravens cornerbacks, they'll probably pick us off a couple of times, but I'll tell you what, he's going to truck them in that fourth quarter. So it all come down to how close it is in that fourth quarter for me.
Interesting. It's good. I like that you're throwing in possibly a change of pace back, because a lot of the focus is going to be on Derrick Henry. I've been quite impressed with Tannehill's rushing game. He gets in for the touchdowns, and that's an extra X factor I find with the Titans this year, as they keep allowing him to score from short yardage. Oh, Jamie, is it going to be a battle of the Browns, do you think, that to blow the game open? If it ends up in a defensive battle, is it going to be AJ versus Marquise?
I mean, if it gets to the battle of defense, I reckon so. But like Ryan was saying, Derrick Henry can win games in the fourth quarter. So we just need to get him shut down early, because if Derrick Henry gets in the open field, it's a touchdown, hands down, because he's an absolute train. He's not fast off the block, but once he gets full pelt, it's just a bulldozer going through everything. And like the meme that happened from last year's playoff with the handoff to the stiff arm to the back, We don't want a repeat of that, because that was very embarrassing. And all my mates kind of slammed me for that, because it was embarrassing. It was just, Derrick Henry is an absolute monster, but I feel that we have the players in our defense to shut him down early. And I think if we get him down early, it's going to be tough for the Titans.
Sounds good. As I said, I'm a Seahawks fan. I've not really got anything invested in the game. So, Ryan, why should I care about the Titans making it through to the divisional round? Sell me. Why should I care that the Titans go
I don't
through?
Think anybody really likes the Ravens.
Not true.
They're not a likable team, to be quite frank. And I don't say that just because, we have a huge rivalry with the Ravens in terms of particularly playoffs, in playoff games. And we owed the Ravens for what they did to us in 2000. That was probably the best Titans team of all time that should have gone on and won a Super Bowl, but we got stopped by the Ravens. And I don't think I'll ever get over that. 2003 made it a little bit better for me. And then we went through a glut of Ravens beating us and until the last couple of years. But I think people want to see the Titans. I think they want to see AJ Brown. I think they want to see Derrick Henry. I think he wants to see it. But like I said, it goes back to the thing. There's also, I'm a defensive person, right? I love defensive football. I like hard, physical, fast football. So that I could understand if you don't want to root for the Titans for that, because you ain't going to get that on our defense. But you're going to get it from our running back, who quite frankly could play edge anyway. So maybe that's what we should do.
It has been a very topsy-turvy year when you think the Titans aren't dominating on defense but throwing the ball all over the place on offense. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. But okay, Jamie, why is Ryan wrong? Why should I want these Ravens to go through?
I mean, you get everything you want in a football team with the Ravens. You get a great run game. We've got a quarterback who's got skills beyond anything. The Ravens, they're just a great team. The Titans, they're a bit, their only weapon is Henry. That's about it. That's all they've got. So if you stop him, nothing's really going to happen. The Ravens, like Ryan was saying, I'm a big defensive football fan. I love watching defenses kind of battle it out, and you know, second best in the league. So I think we're gonna take it.
Fair enough. I think the Titans are probably going to squeak it. I think it's probably going to be something like 30-28, and it's going to be very close down to the end. And it's going to end up being, like you said, Ryan, a big Derrick Henry play, Ryan Tannehill pulling off a giant pass out of nowhere, and the Titans are going to win it. Ryan, what's your score prediction? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's going to come down to a field goal, which also scares the crap out of me, to be quite frank.
Yes. Is Gostkowski coming back, or are they going to stick with?
Yeah, he's off COVID reserve, so hopefully yes. But yeah, I'm going with Titans 34-31. But field goals. Yeah, don't talk about that. I'm glad we didn't get onto that.
Jamie, what's your score prediction? What are you thinking?
I also think it's going to be a very close game, but obviously in the Ravens' favour. So I'm thinking 28-21, something around that. If it comes down to a field goal, we've got Tucker, so one of the best kickers in the league. So, and I'm not really fearful of it coming down to a clutch kick by Tucker.
No, that's true. That is one aspect we've kind of not touched on. We've said a lot about the offenses and the defenses, but I mean, in these playoff games, it sometimes does come down to that special teams unit, and it's one fluky thing. Somebody gets a hand on a ball. Ball hits the post, that sort of thing that can decide it. So it's going to be interesting, I think.
No, and I think we've got a history. I think Raymond's going to have to watch out. We've got history in the playoffs with trick plays. Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes, this is very true.
If we had one or two trick plays up our sleeves.
I do love a trick play.
Yeah, I do honestly think that the Titans, I'm going to try and outsmart the defense. But I feel if we just keep focused. Another thing that our defense is well known for is giving up stupid penalties. So if Peters can keep his hand to himself, I think we'll be all good.
Yes, well, yeah, that is the problem when you have a smash mouth defense, really, isn't it? They do end up going crossing the line every now and again. Just looking at the wider picture, are there any other games you're looking forward to watching, or are you just too nervous for this, the big game on Sunday?
I am mainly focusing on this game. Also want the Steelers to lose because they're the Steelers.
Yeah.
but also I'm looking forward to see how the Bills do. I'm kind of background a Bills fan this season because they've kind of pulled out the bag this year.
They have been quite impressive.
I think it'll be an interesting game. Obviously, unfortunately, I get to watch a lot of Colts games. I think that they kind of like it's. It's in that, it's really, really that odd thing about is Rivers that good still? Question. You know, can he, because he's been fairly average, like really good moments, really low moments, but could he turn up in a playoff game and turn it on? Because, I mean, the Colts are not a bad team. They're not a bad team. They challenged us all the way through the season. They're really not a bad team. Credit to the Bills. Fantastic from top to bottom as an organisation, what they've done in terms of rearranged it. I mean, you know, in terms of building a team that is competitive, they've done an absolutely marvellous job. Again, another team that's probably going to lose some people, not just in terms of coordinators, but probably in the back office as well, I think, this season with the amount of GM openings up. I'm actually quite intrigued by the Rams-Seahawks game, Ryan. Rams just seemed to, just when we thought that they were down, decided to bring it back again. And the Seahawks, when you had probably one of the easiest stretches, back stretches in the league, have just not really done it. It was basically all made up for Russell Wilson to walk away with that MVP trophy. He had like the easiest defensive schedule to go pass against, and it's just not worked out. So I'm quite intrigued by that game.
I mean, I can't even think about calling the Rams-Seahawks game because you don't know which Rams team turns up until about 10 minutes in. You don't know if the Seahawks offense are going to be on it. I mean, but yes, Wilson should have had an easy run to the MVP. But I mean, if you look back now on those first few games, who we were playing, we beat Atlanta by a few points, Dallas by a few points. They are not good teams. We weren't even really beating up on them because the defense was just letting them go. Mm. I think, thankfully for us, I mean, the defense has started to come good towards the back end of the season. We have played some tough defenses. I mean, the Niners, the Rams. So the offensive struggles, I'm not entirely convinced about yet, but I mean, it's not like the defenses are going to get any easier, are they?
No, and I think it'd be interesting to see those teams that potentially don't deserve to be in the playoffs and see Bears. How they actually Bears. Be, like Bears, the Washington football
yeah.
team.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to give it to Washington. Now they have stuck it out in the NFC least. So I mean, they're the best of a bad bunch, as it were. But you know, they've done well for. You know, the whole rebranding and all this kind of stuff. They've been a crap team for a long time. I think it's good for Washington.
Yeah, and they're well coached. They're really, really, really well coached.
I think they were the best team in the NFC East. I think it was right that they got the playoffs.
Absolutely, and you've got you. I don't. Maybe there are fans out, but you can't bemoan Alex Smith in his story. I mean. That kind of playoff football, like fantasy writers type stuff. Do you know what I mean?
That's football movie stuff right there.
Yeah.
We were saying
losing your leg to coming back to playing.
Yeah, there's definitely a Disney executive waiting with a contract just until he, you know, when he retires, he'll be signing on that dotted line. Because I mean, fair play to him. That was a horrendous injury. But yeah, I think it's gonna be quite an interesting year. I think you're right. There's a couple of teams that maybe don't deserve to be in there, but that's what the playoffs are for.
Yep.
You never know. I mean, probably last year people were saying the Titans, they went on a big run at the end of the season. Can they pull it together? And they did. We've seen it before, the Giants sneaking in, getting to the Super Bowl and winning it. So and I'm quite looking forward to it. I'm glad that I've got an early Saturday game. So well, no matter which way it goes, I can just get drunk and enjoy the rest of them. So
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, drunk either way.
Exactly. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on about your game on Sunday that we've not covered yet?
No, I think we've covered all points.
I think we've done pretty well.
Yeah, I think we've covered it.
Perfect. Well, all I can really say is thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Jamie. Good luck to both of your teams because, you know, I don't think we'll be seeing either of them in the Super Bowl, to be honest.
You're wrong there. Not going to be seeing the Titans, definitely.
Famous last words.
I'm not quite sure we're going to see the Seahawks in the Super Bowl either, but, you know, we'll see it. But thank you very much for joining us. Good luck on the weekend. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And hopefully we'll have another podcast coming up with you guys pretty soon.
Thank you so much, Ryan Edwardson, for that. And thank you so much to Jamie Hawkins and Ryan Slaughter for that awesome segment. I'll hand you straight over to Sukhdeep Pooney, who's got Saints at Bears with David Cowlin and James Baker.
Greetings and welcome to a special edition of the 4th and Inches podcast. Once again, we have got another installment of our playoff series whereby we've got fans from each team that are in the playoffs discussing their upcoming matches. So for this episode, we've got Saints and the Bears. So very excited with this one, given the fact that, you know, the Bucks have lost to both of these teams. So take it easy on me, guys. But we've got David with us here today, who is a Bears fan. How you doing, David?
Hi, Asuk. How's it going? Yeah, good, thank you.
Fantastic. And we've got James, who is a Saints fan. How's it going, James?
Yeah, very, very good, thanks. Very good, thanks. Looking forward to chatting a bit of football.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, here we are. Week 17 is in the books, and now the playoffs are here. I'm not really used to this. I'm sure you guys are. You know, seeing the Bears and Saints in playoff action over the years. So very excited. But what we're going to do before we actually start off on deciding who's going to go first, I thought we'd make it a bit of fun. So we'd have I've got a coin here. We're going to have a bit of a coin toss. So the away team will get to pick heads or tails, and they will decide whether they want to receive or defer in terms of the question. So to make it a bit more interesting, this doesn't decide who's going to win the game, but it might go some way towards it. I don't know. So
I'll take 50-50 odds any day.
David, so what's it going to be, heads or tails?
Let's make it heads.
Heads. Oh, I've dropped the coin. That's not good, is it? Let's play that again. It's been a long day, boys. It is heads. So
I'll defer. Go on,
so you
James.
Want to defer. Okay, so we're going to go with James and the Saints first of all. So, James, I think looking at the start of the season, the way the Saints went, I think we all anticipated the Saints to be up there as a sort of contender for the Super Bowl. Certainly, you know, no surprise that they're in the playoffs. So now that you're there, do you think the Saints do have what it takes to go all the way this year?
In a word, yes. We finished with a 12-4 record, and we only had Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and Alvin Kamara play together for 10 quarters throughout the entire season. You know, we've started Taysom Hill at quarterback for 4 games, went 3-1 in that spell. Michael Thomas has only played five games. Kamara's been, you know, he obviously missed the game this weekend. He's been the mainstay of the offense, but you know, we haven't had a game aside from probably the Tampa Bay game when we played in Tampa Bay, where we had everybody available and you saw what we could do in that game. So yeah, yes, we are definitely in with a chance.
Yeah, definitely. And you just think now with obviously Thomas now coming back into the fold now, he's not really had a full season. He's probably, you know, rubbing his hands together thinking, yeah, this is his time now. You know, this is his series to try and do something really serious in the, you know, in the postseason. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Saints do. Any sort of concerns about, obviously a lot of people discuss the Saints and, sort of, you know, we know about the Viking situation, you know, a couple of years back. Do you think there is that stigma that the Saints tend to sort of maybe, not bottle it, but, you know, maybe there is some sort of concern going into the playoffs?
Until we prove it otherwise, I think there has to be that, you know. I mean, the 2017 and the Minnesota game, that's a one in a million play. You know, you can't vouch for that. 2018, you know, I'm opening up old wounds for any Saints fans listening, but was the no call in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
We should have won that game. We should have put that game to bed before we got to the fourth quarter. You know, we could have been 21-0 up in that game, but we were 13-0 up.
Yeah.
Because of field goals and getting bogged down in the red zone. But the Minnesota game last year, I can't explain what happened in that one. You know, we were favored by probably the same as we are favored this weekend, you know, 9.5 points. And it just fell apart. Breeze looked off. The offense couldn't get going, couldn't get the Vikings offense off the field. And it was a massive disappointment. You know, so what's that? The last 3 years, two flukes and a really bad performance. But I think your point stands until we prove otherwise. There's always that flattering to deceive element to the Saints currently.
100%. And I'll be honest, I mean, even given the fact that you are rivals, I have the utmost respect for Drew Brees as a professional. I just think he's literally one of my favourite players, even though obviously he does play for your Saints. I think he's, you know, if anyone's deserving a second Super Bowl, it probably is him, to be honest. You know, he's up there with sort of Rodgers, you know, as someone who probably deserves to have one more ring on his finger as well.
Well, look, I think there's already stories coming out, isn't there, that this is his last season. So it's, you know, are we going to get the disappointing end and no Super Bowl, excuse me, or are we going to get the Peyton Manning go out, you know, with a Super Bowl victory? I'm very much hoping it's the latter.
Yeah, we'll see what happens now. Going on to the Bears now. So obviously from my expectation, just from a personal perspective, I had the Bears sort of challenging for second place, obviously in the NFC North, you know, with the Vikings. So, you know, given the fact that you are obviously in this position now in the playoffs and, you know, everything, you know, the trials and tribulations you've had, you know, with the quarterback position, you know, how are you feeling as a Bears fan, you know, being in this position to be in the playoffs? Is it something that you expected, or are you quite sort of not surprised by this all?
I'm pleasantly surprised. I think I'm really happy that the playoffs this year were expanded to seven teams. Yeah. Fully making the most of that playoff berth. We would have actually got in last season with an identical 8-8 record. But yeah, what I'm most nervous about is that we haven't been, you know, what I think is a clinical enough team to really deserve our place in the playoffs. We were hanging with the Packers last week until the fourth quarter, and then we just let it all fall apart. Mm. And, you know, if we can hang with the Packers, you can really hang with the best of them. And it really pains me to say that. But yeah, it's, you know, finishing the season, the regular season 8-8, I have to be in the playoffs. Absolutely fantastic. You know, and it's playoff football. Being a Saints fan, James, you know what it's like playoff football, you know, more than me. But having that kind of, tough experience over the last couple of years, you know, it's a one and done. You know, you have to take every game as it comes in the playoffs. And if we can get past the Saints, and it's a big if, then we've got a rematch with the Packers, and that's a great opportunity for the Bears, you know, even if we do get another absolute pasting. But yeah, it's take every week as it comes at the moment, isn't it? So
yeah, 100%. I mean, how are you feeling about sort of the quarterback situation now? It's Trubisky is somewhat now, he's sort of settling into the position now, made the position his own. I know he's maybe not won so many fans over, but he is starting to look like, well, you know, a somewhat decent quarterback.
I think he's starting to look like the quarterback he is, and that is like your kind of Blake Bortles-esque vibe about him.
Yeah.
you know, we've declined his fifth-year option. We've got Nick Foles on the roster. Who knows what's going to happen next year? It's a position we've always struggled with as a team. You know, even back, you know, in 85 when we won the thing, it's, you know, Jim McMahon was not, great guy, but not necessarily, you know, the best quarterback in the world. We've always been a defensive-led team and a running-led team.
Yeah.
And that is a kind of, you know, culture and style of football, which just isn't, like, it's not trendy anymore, is it? You know, we like to see the sort of the big teams really air it out down the field. And but yeah, you know, it's a quarterback, you know, the quarterback position is something we've always struggled with. I like Mitch as a person. He's, you know, he was benched back, you know, earlier in the season for Nick after some sort of relatively shaky performances. Nick came on, had some even more shaky performances, and then, you know, since Mitch has come back, he's had some sort of flashes of pretty decent play, but also the really difficult thing with Mitch is you know something bad is coming, and you never really know when it's going to come.
Yeah.
So you can't. He's not the sort of player you can rely on for sort of consistent, efficient football. And those, you know, we don't really see that sort of the big splash plays that we see from, you know, and it hurts to sort of say the likes of Watson and Mahomes, you know, fellow draft class. You know, dink and dunk football is, you know, a couple of yards here, a couple of yards there. He's not great throwing outside the numbers. He's got a bit of athletic ability about him. He can extend the play pretty well, but is he the long term face of the franchise? Not for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I think if we're going to have any chance against New Orleans, everyone, not just Mitch, will need to play their socks off. Yeah. So it's the records are the records, isn't it? We're 8-8. Let's say it's 12-4. We're 8-8, and actually, I think we've only won two games against teams with winning records, so it's a flattering 8-8 as well. Mm. I'm really looking forward to the game. I think the fact it's on Nickelodeon says it all as well. I'm not sure how we watch that in the UK, but it could be interesting to see Gardner Johnson and Javon Wims with Nickelodeon slime effects as well. So, I don't know.
Oh yeah, of course. I recall now. You guys, they had a bit of a Barney earlier this season.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Javon Wims fan, but I'm not a CD Juice fan either.
Yeah, no snatching your chains in this podcast anyway. But like you said, it's nice though with the Bears now. Montgomery's come at the right time now as well, hasn't he, in terms of the last few weeks of his performances. That's maybe helping Mitchell out a bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, we knew Dave was a decent runner. He's not the quickest, but he's really good at shedding a tackle. And I think, you know, that his performances have sort of had a bit of an uptick in conjunction with some consistency with our offensive line. Mm. We've had, you know, so many rotations of the offensive line this year. It's, you know, due to sort of COVID and injury, having a bit of consistency, you know, along those positions has been sort of really beneficial. Yeah. And, you know, the performances are starting to improve. But yeah, I mean, Montgomery's a, you know, 1,000-yard rusher this year, which seems like, you know, small fry compared to someone like Derrick Henry. But, you know, it's a welcome change actually, because running backs we've struggled with, you know, since Matt Forte even. So.
That's fair enough. James, now moving on to sort of the Saints and the matchup this week. What do you think is the key for the Saints to sort of be successful against the Bears this week? What's it going to take, and who's going to have to sort of be on their game this week in order to get the win?
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Roquan Smith is injured.
That's right.
And isn't going to play? Is it questionable? Right. Okay. If he doesn't play, then Alvin Kamara, if he plays, we're not going to know whether he's going to play until Sunday. If Kamara plays and Roquan Smith doesn't, then Kamara is gonna tear the Bears a new one, I think. I think Roquan Smith is the only person that can probably cover Kamara in your linebacking core.
He's a proper Pro Bowl snub with Roquan Smith. He's got so many tackles for loss. And I agree. And, you know, really, Roquan Smith went off injured against the Packers last week. And you could see our team suffer after his loss. You know, he's a massively impactful player.
Yeah, he's really good.
And you're right. We'll need everything we need against Alvin if he's on the field.
I mean, for me, the last 2 weeks when the Saints have played the Vikings and the Panthers, the thing that's really stood out to me is the offensive line has really performed well. I mean, we've probably got the best tackle tandem in the NFL in Armstead and Ramczyk.
Yeah.
Still question marks over the interior with Pete and McCoy and, well, it'll be Ruiz now because Nick Easton's been put on IR this afternoon.
Right.
So Akeem Hicks could be a danger. Rushing from the middle. He doesn't like the Saints because he didn't like the fact that the Saints traded him a few years ago. But, you know, the offensive line has been dominating. The Saints have been running the ball really well. Drew Brees, now he's had a rest, four weeks off. Well, you can't call it a rest with broken ribs, can you? But he's looking sharp. It's all on the offense for me. I'm not sure the Bears' offense can score on our defense. It's all on how our offense performs. And if our offense performs 80% of its capability, then I think the Saints will win quite easily.
Fair enough. Is there anyone in the Bears who you sort of fear that can be a game changer for them, James? You know, is there anyone who you're particularly worried about?
There's two players. Roquan Smith, who we've discussed before, I think he's really good. And the other one is Khalil Mack. You know, he can be a disruptive pass rusher. But he'll be going against Teron Armstead, who's probably one of the top three best left tackles in the league. And the Saints have played the Bears, I think, twice since Khalil Mack signed. Yeah, because we played you the last 2 years in the regular season, and Khalil Mack hasn't had a sack in either game. So, you know, Teron Armstead is good at covering him and blocking him. It would be those two really on the defensive side of the ball. And the offense is Allen Robinson, the receiver. If you give him space, he can really, really cause a lot of damage to your secondary. So we're going to need Marshawn Lattimore to be, you know, peak performance on top of his game to stop Robinson causing that damage.
Yeah, Mitch has been going to Robinson quite a lot this year. Foles as well, to be fair. Should know that just from watching, you know, obviously fantasy football and all the points he's got, he's been getting. So, yeah, fantastic. So, basically, same question to you in terms of the Bears. What's going to be the key for the Bears to beat the Saints? What do they have to do to beat the Saints?
We need our defense to play like they're being paid. I think, you know, we spend a huge amount of money on the defense. And, you know, bringing Robert Quinn from the Cowboys this year to sort of take some pressure off Khalil Mack on the other end of the line, he's massively underwhelmed compared to his contract. We really struggled to put pressure on quarterbacks this year. And if we're going to be successful in this game, we need to make Drew Brees feel, you know, every one of his advanced years. So, but Brees is incredibly good at getting the ball out quickly. And, you know, that's the strength of his offensive line. You know, he just feels like he's got all the time in the world and just doesn't need it though. He's, you know, you look at the Saints roster and it's just superstar headline name after headline name, isn't it really? And I think, you know, obviously, you know, there's bottling up Kamara, and I felt like we did a decent job of bottling up Kamara when we played in the regular season. But I think he still had, you know, nearly 100 yards on us. But it felt like a decent job. You know, cover Jared Cook like he's a wide receiver. You know, Michael Thomas obviously, you know, hasn't had the greatest years. I think if you're gonna compare any year to what the year he had last year, it wouldn't look great. But you know, he's a big star player. He can make you know, catches out of nothing. We've got a bit of a depleted secondary at the moment. You know, we've got a great sort of rookie cornerback in Jalen Johnson, who's really, really stepped up, but he's, you know, he's injured at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Questionable for this week. And we've been, you know, we saw, you know, last week against the Packers relying on some of the younger sort of, you know, rookie cornerbacks that, you know, we can make mistakes and we, you know, pull a PI and let the game get away from us in a way. So I think if we're going to win this game, it's going to be a close game. You know, when we played the Saints in the regular season, it was, you know, we took it to overtime, and that felt like a result. We need to make Drew Brees feel as old as he is, bottle up the star names, and I think the offense, you know, which we've struggled with all year in some form, just needs to play out its skin. You mentioned Allen Robinson. He's, you know, in my mind, one of the sort of, you know, most underrated wide receivers in the league. He's not got the sort of the household name status, but he's, you know, he can make a play. We need all parts of the offense just to really click. And if we're going to be a really, really strong Saints team. You also mentioned Marshawn Lattimore. I remember he having a pick in our regular season game and, you know, giving us a bit of trouble. It's everywhere you look on the Saints roster, there's a problem, you know, that, you know, for us. there's a guy who can really cause you some pain. I don't think a win is out of the question. And I'm hoping the sort of the ghosts of playoffs past haunt the Saints again. But yeah, I'm under no illusion. This is an uphill battle, and you know, but if we want to be in this position, we've got to beat the best teams. And yeah, the Saints are number two in the NFC. This is the playoffs. It's big boy football.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen it before. Lower seed teams have managed to beat the top seed, and you just don't know, do you? But I won't ask you which Saints plays your fair, because I think, judging by your answer, it's probably every single one of them. I think we've pretty much named them all. But James, what we want to do now is, I think you guys have been very nice to each other, to be honest, and I kind of want to see a bit of, I am a neutral, but say if I wasn't an NFL fan or new to the game, why should I or someone else root for the Saints against the Bears? And this is where I want you to sort of rip the Bears to shreds and do what you need to do. Don't hold back.
Right. Okay. So the Saints have a quarterback who is going to retire at the end of the season, who has won one Super Bowl, has criminally never won the MVP in any of his seasons. Him and the coach, Sean Payton, have created one of the best offenses in NFL history consistently for the last, 14 years now. You mentioned the playoff heartbreak of the 2017 and 2018, and then the disappointment from last year. This is a good time to jump on the Saints bandwagon. You know, we're going all out for it this year. It's Drew's last ride. We've got all those playoff ghosts to exercise. We've got on our team one of the best quarterbacks of all time. We've got one of the current best running backs in the NFL, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. We've got probably the best O-line in the NFL. We've got DeMario Davis, who's one of the best linebackers. The defense is ranked top five in most of the categories going. You know, if you're undecided about who to follow in the playoffs this year, then the Saints have got to be your number one choice. You know, David made a point before about the Bears playing the Saints close earlier on in the season. The Saints that day didn't have Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, or Traquan Smith, who were our top three wide receivers.
Yeah.
This week, we won't have Traquan Smith, but we will have Michael Thomas and we will have Emmanuel Sanders. We've got Alvin Kamara, we've got Drew Brees. You know, get ready to see some points being scored on the Bears this weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. And David, like, why should the neutral follow the Bears? And why should we want them to stick it to the Saints?
Hey, everyone loves an underdog, right? And the higher you are, the harder you fall. So I think it's going to be an entertaining game. You know, you said Drew Brees has got nothing. He's got nothing and everything to play for this playoffs. He's more than likely going to retire. He wants to prove that his name's going to be stamped in the history books for another ring as well. Bears and bandwagon are two words that haven't gone together for quite a long time. So for any neutral, I would say, look, it's do you want to sort of play the safe bet, or do you want to sort of go for something a little bit more wild? I'm under no illusions with this game. The Saints are a damn good team, but as I said, you're number two seed. You're unlucky not to be the number one seed, and I apologise in some form for that with the Packers in our division. But the higher you are, the harder you fall, and it's the playoffs. Anything can happen.
Fantastic. And James, what's your predictions for this Sunday? What's going to happen? What's the score going to be?
So when I was recording my podcast that was on last night, I said 42-17 Saints.
Wow.
I'm going to stick to that.
So no squeaky bum time at all, really? No.
No. Comfortable. We've had too many playoff disasters and close games. I want the Saints to go scorched earth and just get the game won and relax. I mean, it doesn't start till 10 o'clock. So it's going to be a very late finish anyway for, UK fans watching the game. Let's get the game done early, put it to bed into the next round.
Fair enough. And David, what about you with the Bears? What are you predicting?
Well, I've got to go for the Bears, haven't I? You know, my brain says one thing and my heart says the other. So, going for the Bears, 2017. It's going to be a close game. If the Bears win it, it's going to be a close game. We've got to make some. Defensive, big defensive plays, and keep it tight.
Yeah, are you expecting like maybe a late field goal this time, maybe to actually go it?
That's not a bad shout, given our kicking woes have been put to bed this year. Absolutely.
Yeah. You had was it last year in the playoffs? Or I think it was the Bears, wasn't it? Where did you not hit the upright at one point when?
Remind me of the double doink every time. a couple of years ago now, wasn't it? With our friend Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
I can't remember how many times he hit the upright in the regular season. It was. I remember Chris Collinsworth saying, "If this guy does this in the playoffs, it's outrageous." And what does he do in the playoffs? He hits the upright and it doinks it off the bottom. And that was heartbreaking. That was against the Eagles, who I think then went on to beat the Saints in the following game. Is that right?
I think the Eagles, we beat the Eagles the next week.
That was it. Sorry, yeah.
Well, so
you just played them there.
Sorry, so in terms of the so thank you for your predictions now. In terms of your plug-in, James, you mentioned that you do a podcast. Do you want to give us a quick plug and then also give us your Saints chant?
You want me to do the Saints chant? Right, okay. So I am on the Dome Patrol podcast network. So 3 years ago, me and a couple of other Saints fans set up the UK Saints podcast. But then at the start of this season, at the end of last season, we joined forces with a podcast over in America called The Dome Patrol, who have been going for 10 plus years. We listened to their show, they listened to ours. We got talking, set up a WhatsApp group, and we joined forces with them. So there's six of us that do our main Dome Patrol podcast. We've also got BS and Beer. There's another Saints podcast that's on our network. We've got a gambling podcast. We do Premier League. We cover college football. So, there's lots of podcasts that we put out. So, if you want to give us a follow, Dome Patrol UK and Dome Patrol US on that. Like I said, we did a live stream last night. It's good fun. We get a good amount of listens to all of our podcasts, a week. So it's all good. So yeah, give us a follow and a like if any Saints fans don't already know about us.
Fantastic. No Saints chants then for you? Or?
Well, we do have a chant, but my throat's playing up.
Oh yeah, it's winter time and everything.
It is.
On.
Yeah. It is. I don't want to subject you to my singing. I really don't.
Being a Bucks fan, I'm kind of glad anyway. But
yeah, I mean, you'll probably all know it goes who dat. So yeah, you know all about that.
Yeah, we all know about who dat. David, likewise, have you got anything that you can plug for us or social media?
No specific plugs. Not nearly professional enough to put my name to podcast radio on a regular basis, but to all the Bears fans out there, got to believe in it. So bear down.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, guys, for taking part. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I wish you both the best of luck. This Sunday, and who knows, we may meet down the road if whoever wins. We'd love to have you on the podcast again to give a bit of banter with whoever you face next. So, yeah, really appreciate it, guys, and look after yourselves.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Cheers, James.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Sukhdeep, for that. And thank you so much to David Cowlin and James Baker. So, for the final installment of the podcast, I'm going to hand you over to Ryan Edwardson, Mr. Paul Brown, Mr. Freddie Hall. Enjoy this one, guys.
Hello, everybody. This is Ryan, and I'm here continuing our look forward at Wildcard Weekend 2021. Joining me now are two AFC North enthusiasts, avid fans of the two teams in the final game of the weekend. First up, representing the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's the host of the Franchise Tag podcast and the only man I know who's got better hair than the great Troy Polamalu. It's Freddie Hall. How are things going, Freddie?
They're going all right. Thanks, Ryan. Thank you very much. Thank you for the compliment of the hair. I've got the Polamalu jersey on as well. Favourite player ever. You know, I'm sure he'd be happy to be playing in this defence that we have at the minute as well.
Just never go full Polamalu. And representing Freddie's opposition this weekend, it's a man who loves the Cleveland Browns so much he changed his own last name by deed poll. That might not be true. He is also the host of his own eponymous podcast discussing all things Browns. Welcome in. It's Mr. Paul Brown. Paul, how are you holding up?
I'm very well, thank you. But I'm very upset you didn't compare me to a Browns football player.
I don't know of any good ones.
Wow.
That's how we're starting off. We have to start somewhere.
I expected Stuart Love to be on the show giving me abuse, but I'm getting it from you, Ryan, really early doors.
Yeah, he sent me a tenner in the post, although it's not arrived yet, so we'll figure it out.
It'll be a Scottish note, though, so it's not real money, you know.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
And I'm not going to mention if it's like his merchandise that turns up late. But anyway, let's get on with the podcast.
That's getting cut. I think we'll start off with you, Paul, since I've insulted you once already. And we'll just have a quick look at the Browns season, because after all the hype and disappointment of last year, you've got to be happy with Kevin Stefanski's first season in charge.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I really thought 8-8... 9-6, may just slip into that playoff spot, but not a lot of expectations. And I'm normally very optimist. And I thought, with a new manager, you know, I wanted Hugh Jackson. I wanted Freddie Kitchens. Kevin Stefanski, I decided to change my attitude. I said, I don't care who we get, and I'm not going to be over the top. And yes, I am pleasantly surprised of that we're now Cleveland Browns. Yes, that's correct. Cleveland Browns are 11-5.
You have to keep saying it just so you keep believing it, don't you?
Yeah, and you got to remember we were a 0-16 team, yeah, you know, 3 years
you've
ago
come,
maybe.
You've come a long way, even despite last year. I mean, I don't think anybody really expected Stefanski to pull out an 11-win season, but I mean, it's looked pretty good for most of it, right?
We have righted our luck. Let's be honest about this. We have roaded our luck. But yeah, we are in the NFL 11-5.
Freddie, your Steelers started 11-0. So it must have been an enjoyable season for you, right?
Yeah, when you go in on win streaks like that, it feels like pressure mounts on you because every game you're thinking you've got to be winning it. And I'm sure the pressure mounts on players as well. And now, you know, As a Steelers fan, yeah, we've been a successful team the last few years, but you know, 11-0 is unheard of for the Steelers nation at the minute. And it was almost good when we got our first loss against Washington because it took the pressure off. It was, you know, we are beatable, but we showed some real promise in them games and we were really good. There was a lot of narratives online about, well, you know, you beat Daniel Jones and Drew Lock and stuff like that. But every game in the NFL is tough and every team wants to win. So it was a good start. Yeah, there was a dip. But I feel like the last two games really showed a bit more about the Steeler character. And hopefully that'll press on into the playoffs. And if we can amount to the stuff that we did at the start of the season in the playoffs and keep some of the keep some of that momentum going that we had, then, you know, we can push for the AFC Championship and even hopefully to the Super Bowl in Tampa.
So you're confident? You think you guys can go all the way?
Quietly confident. I think as much as I'm sure there's going to be a bit of slanging to and fro with me and Paul, I think Cleveland are a very good team. And I think I've said that a lot this season, that they are underrated and they are a dangerous team. And a lot of all these teams in the playoffs deserve to be here. And sometimes you just got to ride your luck, like Paul said. And why can't the Steelers go and do it? Why can't they go to the AFC Championship game probably against the Kansas City Chiefs, or you know, into the Super Bowl against whoever succeeds in the NFC.
Paul, you were talking before, it's been such a long time since Cleveland have made the playoffs. What does it mean to you and to the other fans that you've spoken to finally get into the postseason after all this time?
Yeah, we're talking about tears, emotions. You know, if you've been out to Cleveland, I've been to Pittsburgh, but I think Cleveland doesn't have an underground station like Pittsburgh, and it could be a bit more away from America, like your East and your West Coast, a bit more, Midwest type vibe. And, you know, sport is everything for that city. So being a fan in that city as a kid, now you've got to remember, if you're 25, you probably can't remember your team ever making the playoffs. So there's a lot of tears, a lot of joy. Yes, we won ugly against the Steelers, but it was a bounce back win and we are in the playoffs. And hopefully it's a turning point for the team. And, you know, there is an outside chance the Browns could beat the Steelers.
Would you be disappointed if you don't? Or are you quite happy with what's been going on?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about the Cleveland Browns fan base is, yes, we wanted playoffs this year. We've hit that. If we lost against the Steelers, I don't think we would be that devastated just because we have ticked that massive box of making the playoffs.
That's fair. I think that's fair enough. Where everybody knows Cleveland's history. I mean, you still look a little bit snake bitten at the moment with everything that's been going on the past few days. I'm sure you've been glued to the internet with Olivia Vernon ruled out with an Achilles. Now your head coach and Joel Bitonio test positive for COVID. It just never ends for you guys, does it?
Look, let's be honest. All NFL teams this year have had their ups and downs with COVID. It is what it is. You know, they're not going to change the date. The Cleveland Browns have to go out and win the game to progress, you know. If we progress, it's a great story. If we don't, let's put our hands up and say the best team won on the day.
That's very pragmatic. Very magnanimous, Paul.
Go Browns, come on. We can do it.
That's what we want. We want more of that. I mean, it's a very odd situation that actually seems to have happened a few times over the past few years, in that you've played in week 17 and then you end up playing again in the first round of the playoffs. Freddie, do you think the Steelers might end up taking the Browns lightly due to the fact that you've just played them and then there's all these ridiculous circumstances surrounding them in the last couple of weeks?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Pittsburgh Steelers organization knows how dangerous this Cleveland Browns team is now. And yeah, it was a close fought game in the week 17, 24-22. It was a good win by the Browns, but we took them to the wire. And it also, there was in week six, we dominated 38-7, but we know what the Cleveland Browns can do. Their run game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is fantastic. You have some very solid receivers in Landry, Austin Hooper, Rashad Higgins has really come on the last few weeks. Obviously, you've got Myles Garrett. Obviously, every Pittsburgh Steelers fan knows about Myles Garrett and the damage that he can cause to people.
Literally.
Yeah, quite literally. But jokes aside, he's one of the best defensive ends in the whole of the NFL. And that secondary as well for Cleveland is very good with Denzel Ward. Unfortunately, I don't believe Ronnie Harrison is going to be playing either. Actually, I think no, Ronnie Harrison is. I think he's okay. So there's good players on that secondary. We won't take them lightly. We rested our starters in the week 17, and they're going to be coming back, and they're going to be coming back with vengeance. And these guys, a lot of these guys haven't been to the playoffs either, just as much as Cleveland haven't been to the playoffs in so long. A lot of these guys for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this will be their first playoff run. TJ Watt, for example, Minka Fitzpatrick, James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster. These guys are all going to be up for it and raring to go. And yeah, we're a young team and we're a hungry team. We've got some veterans on that team as well that have had this experience, like Ben Roethlisberger. But I think we cannot take Cleveland lightly. I don't think any team will be taken lightly in the playoffs. You know, I don't think no one wants to be the one gets defeated by the underdog. And hopefully the Steelers can prevail on the night.
What do you think Pittsburgh have got to do to come away with the victory?
Oh, there's a lot of things we've lacked in the last few weeks, which is why it worries me more going into the playoffs here. In the last couple of weeks, it's been the simple things, really. Too many drop balls. Big Ben, it feels like as much as we went 11-0, as soon as we got that first loss, it felt like the confidence just shed away from straight away. We have to remember, though, our bye week was week four. It was unscheduled, but we haven't had a bye week since week four. So Big Ben's now had practically 2 weeks now to rest up, to get healthy again. We need to utilize the deep ball to Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson to get that separation. On the offense, I know our run game has been horrendous all year, but if we can just at least make viable runs and make good yardage with the run, that's fine. We don't need any breakaway 25-yard or 30-yard runs or anything like that. If we just get gradual runs and yards there, then that's going to be an improvement on most of the season, hopefully. I mean, it'd be a bit late to maybe start getting good at the run, but at least try and be a bit successful. And defensively, we've got to dominate the trenches there, which TJ Watt has done all year. Cam Haywood has done all year. We've got to put real pressure on Baker Mayfield. He did well against the pressure, I thought, in week 17, but hasn't against us before this year and against other teams. If we can force him to throw more, then our secondary is going to be able to get the interceptions, get the turnovers. And our secondary is capable of doing that. They've been patchy, I think, most of the year. Minka Fitzpatrick hasn't been the splash player that he was of 2019, but has been very good. So if we force Baker to throw the ball, then our secondary then needs to be at the highest level it can be. Stopping Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is the imperative for the game, I think.
Or do you think that's right? Do you think it's all about the Steelers putting pressure on Baker and forcing him to try and win the game rather than relying on that third-ranked running game that you guys have got?
Yeah, I think there's three points or three places where the game could be won and lost. I think it's our O-line. We got, you know, PFF number one O-line, but we've lost Joel Bitonio and a player that will be coming in would potentially be a guy called Michael Dunn. And he's never played an NFL snap. So, you know, like, our O-line is our strength. It protects Baker. It gives Baker time. Baker is not good under pressure. So that's my first worry. Second thing is Baker. You know, he has been very good at keeping the ball, looking after the ball. But this could be the game where he slips up because he has been riding his luck. And then I think the third thing for me is our secondary. We should have Denzel Ward back. They've given the game to us on a Sunday with, I think, a bit of grace to the Browns that we get to play Denzel Ward. If it was on a Saturday, he wouldn't be out because of COVID. Now, Denzel Ward is probably our only player that I think that I feel confident in getting a turnaround, and we will need interceptions to win this game on Sunday.
That's fair enough. I am a complete neutral, so I'm a Seahawks fan. Freddie, why should I be cheering on the Steelers against Paul's beloved Browns this weekend?
You should be cheering on the Steelers because we are steeped in such an illustrious history. Big Ben, this might be his last push for the Super Bowl. He's been such a pillar in the NFL for a very long time now. Yeah, he's not been the Tom Brady, the Peyton Mannings, but he's been there alongside them, rode the wave, and it has been fantastic for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. We've got splashy, fun receivers in Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster in Deontay Johnson that are just as fun to watch as any of the top names in the league at the minute. Our defense is one of the best defenses in the league. I know a lot of fans out there are going to watch the offense a lot more, but there's a lot of people who love defense as well. If you want to see someone like TJ Watt, who's, I think, going to be Defensive Player of the Year, smashing into the O-line, sacking Baker, causing disruption, then that's what you're going to see from TJ Watt, from Cam Haywood on that defensive line. And then also, you got to keep your eyes to that secondary because Minka Fitzpatrick is up there as one of the top safeties in the league as well. And he can make spectacular interceptions and spectacular tackles out of nowhere. You cannot blink when you're watching the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sometimes for good, but sometimes can be for bad as well.
You mentioned quite a lot of the young wide receivers over the past few minutes. Do you think it's really key going into the playoffs that they hit form? I mean, there's not that much experience in that wide receiver room at the moment, is there?
No, there's not, admittedly, but they have people like Eric Ebron, Vance McDonald, who are older guys who they can lean on. I think there's that fearless aspect in there. They need to find... So I thought Deontay Johnson, actually, in Week 17 against the Browns, found his form that we'd been missing for the last 5 weeks. He was catching the deep ball. He looked really confident with Mason Rudolph, which I thought was surprising. That may have caused him to, you know, sort of... get his confidence back up. Juju Smith-Schuster has been quiet, admittedly, but I think that's where he is better. He was the best he was when he was quiet, when he was under Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. And Chase Claypool is going to be in the conversation for one of the best rookie wide receivers coming out this year behind people like Justin Jefferson. He's got the most touchdowns by a rookie this year. And he's a wide receiver that is going to be around for a long time in Pittsburgh. We're good at getting receivers in the second and the third round and creating diamonds out of coal. And all three of these guys have got a big future ahead of them in Pittsburgh, including James Washington as well, who I haven't really spoken about either. James Washington's been there a few years now, not been the success maybe that we thought he was going to be when we drafted him, but it can be very solid on occasions. And it also can be totally forgotten about when it comes to throwing the ball over the top and is more than capable to get a touchdown deep in the end zone.
All right, Paul, come on. Why do the Browns deserve to be in the divisional round instead of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
We all like an underdog. You know, everything's been going against the Browns. Do you want the fairy tale story of the Cleveland Browns beating the Steelers, the Chiefs, maybe the Bills, and then going on to beat Packers in the Super Bowl final? That is what we want. Do you really want the Steelers to go through and lose the Super Bowl again, you know, like, come on. It's been, okay, they didn't have a great season last year, but, you know, they're always there and about. But 18 years of hell, now's the time for the Cleveland Browns to at least win one playoff game. Give me that, please.
I think you've convinced me, that's fine. Freddie, do you have a bold prediction for this game?
Ooh, bold prediction. I think we'll win the game 27-18. That's my prediction, but I think we'll get there. If I had to do a crazy prediction, let's say TJ Watt 4 sacks.
It's not outside the realms of possibility.
If he gets lined up against this Dunn gentleman who's never played a snap of the NFL, then he's going to be breakfast, lunch and dinner for TJ Watt. He's going to be eating all day.
Paul, what about you? How do you see this game going?
Interestingly, on a piece of paper, I've gone Steelers 27.
But
the Cleveland Browns to win 28, of course. So.
That's going to be a nail biter. I'm assuming you guys might be staying up to watch this one, the proper end of the weekend.
Ryan, do bear shit in the wood. I'll be watching that game 100%. I'll be getting a little nap in the afternoon, and I'm going to be fresh and ready to watch this game.
I don't know. I think the Bears shit on Soldier Field at the moment, but oh, we'll see how it goes. Boys, is there anything else that you guys wanted to cover off before we end this playoff preview?
Freddie, do you want to put a bet on the game?
Oh, well, it depends what we're, what are we betting? Pour a bottle of pour a bottle of bubbles over each other. Do hair? Oh, wow. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Freddie?
I've got a bit more hair to lose than you, mate.
Yeah, you'd have to come back as three bald guys in a week.
Freddie, how confident are you the Steelers going to win? That's the question.
I'm pretty confident. You name the price and I'll be thinking.
The loser has to shave the hair off.
Oh.
I think that's a bit steep. He's going for the full pole barley.
That's steep for me.
Freddie, don't sound too confident now, do you?
Well, I'm confident, but the locks are, you know, I can't do that.
Go, guys. Cleveland Browns versus the Steelers.
He's got me.
You know who to follow.
He's under my skin.
You know who to support.
Everyone go and support the Cleveland Browns because they're going to need it. They're going to come up against one of the best teams in the NFL, and it's going to be another ring on Big Ben's finger by the end of February.
I genuinely don't think the Steelers have got enough in their tank to win the Super Bowl.
It's a very strong AFC. Very strong this year.
I think anyone can beat anyone on the day. If I had to call the Super Bowl now, I would probably go Packers and Bills. I'm really liking the Bills at the minute. I feel as much as you probably don't want to hear that, all the listeners here, as a Steelers fan, but let's be real in the real world of it all. As much as I'd love to see the Steelers go through, as much as Paul would love to see the Browns go through, it is such a strong AFC. And what a 2020 of NFL we've watched. It's been such a memorable year, not just for COVID, not just for some of the crazy things that have happened, but the games have been wicked. We've had more time to be able to watch them. It's been so successful. And, I think we all as NFL UK fans thank the NFL for being able to go through with it and to produce just some absolutely wicked games and some wicked moments that happened at the end of 2020.
It has been. Ryan,
how would you rate the seven AFC teams 7-1 in who you think could win it?
Chiefs, Bills. Oh, probably Steelers, Titans, Ravens, Browns. Have I missed somebody? I feel like I missed somebody.
Colts,
yeah.
Yeah, they don't figure on my radar. I don't think they've got enough.
What would be your top seven pick?
Top seven. Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Titans, Ravens, Browns, Colts.
It's got to be, hasn't it? I think.
I'm not in on the Colts. Not in. I think we all went crazy for Phil Rivers at the start of the year and then completely forgot what he's done in LA for the last last 4 or 5 years.
It's the same thing all over.
It was not good. And when I did my awards the other day, I would like to also tell Paul that I did vote Kevin Stefanski as my coach of the year. And I do think that, joking aside from our rivalry and how the game will go, and I'm sure it'll be a great laugh, I do think Kevin Stefanski has just turned your organisation around, really giving you direction. And it's great to see the AFC North so strong again. When Joe Burrow comes back next year for Cincinnati, that our division is going to be the best division to watch. The Cleveland Browns are going to be wicked with Kevin Stefanski, the players they have. The Ravens are going to be just hot with Lamar Jackson. We're going to be just as good, I'd hope, with our defense as well. And then Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and that AFC North. I mean, the NFC West, I think, has been equal to the AFC North in how good it's been. I really think it has, with how competitive it has been with the Cardinals, the Rams and the Seahawks batting around there. But the AFC North next year is going to be must-watch TV every week. And I think all four teams in the division are going to be must-watch teams every weekend.
It would be good for the Bengals to step it up one gear. Maybe with some good draft picks, they can be there. But yeah, it is a super tough league. And, it clearly says, three teams getting over 11 wins. It makes the NFC look embarrassing.
I'm starting to feel a little bit heat here, guys.
This is all turning on you now, right?
Yeah, hang on.
Steelers and Browns are now combining to then fire at the NFC.
You guys were supposed to fight amongst yourselves, not aim at me.
The NFC have shitted on the AFC for ages, saying like we're the best division, and it's just not true anymore. It's just not true. The AFC is a way better division. It's got way better teams, way better players. The NFC is more fun in a way that it swaps around so much, and there's more grit there, I suppose. But the AFC now is just such a talented pool of teams and players and coaches and coordinators. And I think it's very exciting for the AFC in the next coming years.
I think the AFC has definitely got the stronger teams at the top. But then if we look down at the bottom as well, where you've got the Jags, the Jets and the Texans and the Bengals propping it up.
Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow,
Ryan Leaf. I'm joking.
Guys, are the Jags going to get Trevor Lawrence?
I think they have to.
Yeah, they've got it. They've got it.
Even if he turns out to be a bust, I think they'd get worse feedback if they didn't pick him.
It depends. I think it depends on the route of the coach. It really depends on what coach they go for. They'll take Lawrence, but the success of it, it really depends on who they get in, I think. I mean, I've called for Doug Marrone's head last year, and I wasn't really sure why they kept him on. Maybe they kept him on to try and get the number one pick. But obviously, the Jets are holding it for so long. Would they have gone Justin Fields if they kept the second pick? I don't know. Will Jets go Justin Fields with the second pick? I don't know either. It would not shock me the Jets moving out the second pick if with what you could get for that second pick.
I feel that the Jets are going to do like Cleveland Browns and trade down as much and get as much value as they can, back Darnold and go for it.
It makes sense to me. Otherwise, you're gambling on an unknown. At least you know you've got somebody serviceable in Darnold and you can improve the rest of your team.
Here's a question. If the Jets decide to move off of Darnold, where does Darnold go? Or where would you like to see him go?
Steelers.
I would as well, but wouldn't it be so Bill Belichick to go into game?
Oh, to take one from the Jets, yeah. Turn him into it. I think that is good. I think there will definitely be teams in there for the Jets to trade with, because there's going to be a lot of teams who are quarterback hungry or eyeing up the fact that there's some aging quarterbacks coming up to retirement soon. So it's going to be interesting.
What's Darnold worth, do you think?
That is a question I think the Jets have been asking themselves for a while, isn't it?
I think he is worth a first round pick for age and for how he can play. We know he's decent at best. We know he's not bad. He's got to be a first round pick. I don't see how the Jets couldn't ask for. The Jets might want to push for two first round picks, which I think is a bit crazy. But for age and for how well he can play, I mean, they're going to be asking first round pick and more, if anything. But it just depends what people are willing to give up. Same with Carson Wentz, what are people willing to give up? Same with a load of them, isn't it? It's what people are willing to give up from.
What would you say Wentz is worth?
Not a first round pick anymore.
You think Wentz comes out of this season more tarnished than Darnold's past three with all the mono and all the PR?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just gone so downhill, considering he was MVP candidate.
I wanted us to draft Jalen Hurts in the second round rather than Chase Claypool. I was very like, I think we should go for a low down quarterback here. But and I like Jalen Hurts at the time. I didn't watch loads of college football, but tend to week before draft, I'll try and just get as much information as I can on everyone and watch some tape and everything. And I did like him, but happy we took Chase Claypool. But is Jalen Hurts the guy in Philadelphia? It wouldn't shock me if Jalen Hurts in 2 years' time isn't the guy in Philadelphia either. Like, that wouldn't shock me. I mean, loads of people are calling for Doug Peterson's head. Does he go? They said they'll keep him. Their offensive coordinator said he's going to step down. Carson Wentz was best under Frank Reich. The Colts need a quarterback for the future. They've got the money, but will they have the draft capital? I think that... If I had to bet anything, it'd be him going to the Colts. But I don't know who's going to go and get him.
It's going to be a very interesting offseason, especially with the salary cap implications coming up.
They have to get rid of him before March because he's got things that
triggering his contract.
And he gets like a higher cap space. So they'd want to get rid of him before then, I'm sure, at some rate, I suppose. But it's going to be really interesting. What's your take, Paul, on the whole COVID thing in the last few weeks with Cleveland? Because there's been so many. Like, it sounds like I'm feeling like they've not been behaving themselves or anything like that. Or is it just been like you think it's just a little bit of a case of it just happens and then it sort of spreads out wildfire?
Yeah, the official take is it's all community, so nothing in the building.
Yeah,
but. The reason why we lost our wide receivers because they were in a hot tub with a load of players. Mm. So, you know, last night, Higgins and our tackle, Wills, you know, were driving around like lunatics in Cleveland, you know, and got stopped. And there's marijuana in the car, you know. It's just like, you know, you can't script this. So,
you wouldn't want to script it, would you, Paul?
Yeah, but it's like... You guys see Kevin Stefanski as super mellow, very neutral, but there is stuff going on in the club that shouldn't be going on. And I'm not saying he's not disciplined, but there is stuff going on. That's all I'll say is. So, yeah, you probably wouldn't see it with the Steelers, but you would see it with the Browns, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want another rot setting into Cleveland, not when it's looking so good for the first time in so many years.
Yeah.
This is
here's a question for you, Freddie. What is your quarterback strategy for the future, do you think?
I am a real I'm really one for young and mobile, because that's what the 21st century quarterback now is, even though they're hard to come by when you have like Wilson, Lamar, Murray, even Josh Allen. I mean, he's mobile. If I could have a Josh Allen comparable, that is what I would like, because I feel like he is Big Ben, just with a bit of wheels and with a bit of youth to him, because he has got the strong arm and everything like that. I think you've got to be looking for strong arm with a bit of mobility, aren't you, at the moment? But it wouldn't shock me if the Steelers went for another sort of 6'5", massive, big arm, big shoulder guy. But that just can't be the way anymore. As much as I love the Steelers, they can be a bit backward with some of the things they do. I think they can. They're not very quick on the uptake sometimes with getting into how it is now. But it just depends what comes out in the next few years. I wouldn't be totally angry if we drafted someone in the second round or the low first round pick this year, depending on who it was. I don't think we need to yet. Well, outside of Lawrence and Fields, how great is everyone else? Obviously, Zach Wilson's getting a load of hype. Can't remember his surname now. Mac Jones, I think his name is. Kyle Trask, they're all like the guys who are meant to be the next wave of good quarterbacks, but I don't know that much about everyone outside of Lawrence and Fields. So, yeah, I think we've got a tall, big arm, wheels. If Josh Allen comparable would be my preference. Just got to see who comes out, really. I don't know about what's going to come out for years to come. I honestly don't think we should be sticking with them much longer. I was at the start of the season, I said I think this should be his last year, and that's why I wanted to draft a quarterback in the last draft, because I think that I'm very bad for, like, if you've got an old quarterback, just draft a quarterback. Like, I'm bad for get rid of Phil Rivers, get rid of Matt Stafford, get rid of Ben Roethlisberger, get rid of all the older guys. But even though, people like Matt Stafford are really good still, but yeah, always draft one and keep it young at that position, I always think. But
what are the Browns looking for in the offseason, Paul?
Yeah, I would say defense, and I could see us going for a powerful cornerback first, picking best player available. I could see us going with defensive end, linebacker, potentially another safety. That would be it, really. I could see us picking two third round picks. I could see us picking four defensive players with them. The one exception may be a wide receiver. We've got two strong wide receivers or contract expensive, Landry and Odell, and then it drops off a cliff. So Higgins is not bad at the moment, but yeah, we would, I could see us going corner, wide receiver, linebacker, safety, that kind of tone.
Makes sense.
I've not disliked Peoples Jones the last few weeks. I thought Peoples Jones has been pretty all right, but he is very clearly a fourth string receiver. He's not, he's not a splashy guy just yet, but he, could well be one day.
Yeah. Looking at the Steelers, go back to 2018, I remember following that draft very hard because the Browns were going to take a quarterback. You got Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Darnold. Who else do you have that year?
Josh Rosen.
Rosen, he's on a practice squad somewhere, isn't he now?
Yeah.
He's at San Francisco.
Yeah. And we're talking about a top 10 drafted quarterback, and he's now on a practice squad, So it is crazy that what can happen in 3 years to a first round pick.
It's something that I've been picking up coming over from English sports, is the lack of a reserve league in the NFL just means that if you burn out hard in your first couple of years, there's no way back, really. I mean, Tannehill's about it, and then
Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Well, he literally burned out. But there's nowhere for you to come and get a lie low for a while, build up your tape again, play some meaningful games. It's all just in-house training. Will there be any preseason coming up next year? Probably not, if things stay the way they are.
It's just taking your chances, isn't it? I mean, Marcus Mariota is one of them this year who could have really took every chance at one point. If Derek Carr had dipped at any point really drastically, Mariota would have come in, and I'm sure Mariota would have probably performed. And then Mariota takes his job, and then and that suddenly happens out of nowhere, doesn't it? Same with Ryan Tannehill moving over to the Tennessee, comes in and then takes it. It does happen, and more teams should take the risk sometimes. I think some teams don't take the risk too much, and sort of sit on it for a little bit too long, and they do need to take the risk a lot more.
Makes sense. Anything else that you guys wanted to highlight about the game coming up this weekend? Are we all tapped out and you guys just nervously ready for what's going to happen on Sunday night?
Yeah, it's going to be a long weekend waiting for that game. But the Cleveland Browns are going to be absolutely going crazy. I'm going to get some fireworks to set off my balcony and go nuts when the Browns win.
Well, I'd like to say good luck, Paul, and I'll be staying up all weekend as well to watch all the games. I'm sure every game's going to be an absolute highlight reel, and it's going to be such fun. I will be sitting in my living room, not with fireworks, unfortunately, but I will be letting out a large hurrah when we win the game, obviously, at full time. And I'm sure there'll be messages sent between me and Paul to say congratulations or commiserations. But good luck, and I'm sure, as the cliche says, let's just have fun whilst it's happening.
Let's set up a WhatsApp group. Stu, love you, the other Freddie.
Boys, good luck to both of you this weekend. Thank you for joining us, and thank you guys for listening.
Go Browns.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Go Steel Curtain.
Well, what can I say? That was probably one of the most enjoyable podcast shows that we've done since we started this away back in April 2020. Just having everyone involved, having all the fans involved, the banter that goes back and forth. I mean, the group chats last night was just absolutely phenomenal. It got heated at times, but that's what football is all about. We've got big things coming in the off-season. As I said, we've got amazing news that we're working with Andy Turner. And it's just an exciting time for the podcast and myself and Neil Elliott's business, Five Star Imports and Memorabilia. So we are a podcast for the fans. We're a podcast for you. And we want you to come on the podcast and talk about your experiences, your love for the NFL, the reason why you love your team. So hit us up on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can find myself, Stuart Love NFL, on all platforms. You can get Suk, S-U-K-H, NFL UK on Twitter. You'll see them all over Facebook, Instagram. You've got Ryan Edwardson. He will get a Twitter. He has promised he will get a Twitter now that the Orange Man is no longer on Twitter. But again, hook us up. Come and chat with us and come and be part of the podcast. Thank you so much, guys. Good luck to the guys that are playing tonight, because obviously this will be out before the games are being played. But I'm nervous. I've got the late one. I've got my Steelers. But I really hope that every other team has a great win, and Use fans can enjoy it as much as I'm enjoying it. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day.